Our reading from the Bible today comes from the prophet Isaiah. And I don't know if you knew this, but Isaiah is a very long book, one of the biggest books in the Bible. And even though we call the book Isaiah, it's sure that there were several different writers. And it was kind of a compiled book that covers a lot of territory from the people of Israel, especially the people of Judah in the southern kingdom. So the early part of the book of Isaiah refers to some of the trouble that they were causing and getting into. And then in this second part of Isaiah that starts at chapter 40, the people have been conquered by the Babylonian Empire. Jerusalem has been crushed. The city is in ruin, and the leaders of Judah have been taken into captivity. They're in exile up in Babylon, and that's when this word comes to them from Isaiah. Comfort. Oh, comfort my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and cry to her that she has served her term, that her penalty is paid, that she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins. A voice cries out, in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be lifted up, and every mountain and hill be made low. The uneven ground shall become level, and the rough places a plain. Then the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all people shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. A voice says, cry out. And I say, the prophet Isaiah, what shall I cry? All people are like grass. Their constancy is like the flower of the field. The grass withers, the flower fades. When the breath of the Lord blows upon it, surely the people are grass. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God will stand forever. Get you up to a high mountain, O Zion, herald of good tidings. Lift up your voice with strength, O Jerusalem. Herald of good tidings, lift it up. Do not fear. Say to the cities of Judah, here is your God. See, the Lord comes with might, and his arm rules for him. His reward is with him, and his recompense before him. He will feed his flock like a shepherd. He will gather the lambs in his arms and carry them in his bosom and gently lead the mother sheep. In the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord. In the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord. If there's nothing else that you remember about this sermon or about our experience of worship together today, that's what you should remember. In the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord. I want you to remember it, so say it with me once. In the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord. You see, the truth that those words reveal is that our God meets us in the wilderness. It may be such a deep and dark place of wilderness that no one else has ever been there, but our God is not afraid to meet us even there. That's how Israel felt. Conquered, war, bloodshed all around them, dragged through the desert up to Babylon, a place where they didn't know the language, they didn't know the customs, they were the poorest of the poor, they had nothing. They were so far from God's presence, they could not imagine that life would ever be good again. The writer of Lamentations captures some of what they were feeling. Here are just a few phrases and sentences. Her downfall was appalling, with no one to comfort her. For these things I weep, my eyes flow with tears, for a comforter is far from me, one to revive my courage. My children are desolate, for the enemy has prevailed. They heard how I was groaning with no one to comfort me. She weeps bitterly in the night with tears on her cheeks. She has no one to comfort her. Those words came to me this week as I read a post on a Facebook page of clergy members, kind of a private group where clergy support one another. This young woman posted that she lay awake in the night sleeping, or her husband sleeping next to her. She was sobbing, tears wetting the pillow, tears wetting the sheets of their bed. Her husband next to her had been in a motorcycle accident a couple years before, and he's still in recovery. We'll never leave behind the trauma and the scars. He walks with a constant limp. He had so many surgeries that those memories are fresh in his mind. He lives with chronic pain, and her heart just bled for his suffering. But that suffering was compounded for the couple this week when they got news that their 25-year-old son, who was a highway engineer, had been hit. The father had been hit by an inattentive driver who plowed through a red light and ran into him on his motorcycle. This son also was struck as he was standing in a median doing some survey work, I imagine. A driver fell asleep at the wheel and plowed into this young man standing, not even a vehicle to protect him, and so he was propelled through the windshield of that car. His father had broken at least two of his four limbs and lost parts of himself in that accident. This son injured three limbs and was in jeopardy of losing a leg. And the mother was just inconsolable, knowing what was ahead for him, the multiple surgeries, the skin grafts, the fear, the endless therapy, the hopelessness of thinking, I will never be who I was before, losing his sense of being an athlete and being able to do so much with his body. She could see it all play out in front of her. As she voiced her lament on the internet, other mothers chimed in with their laments too. There was a mother who posted a response to her who talked about how she had lost a son in an accident when he was 39 years old. And this mother was writing from the hospital where she was sitting vigil next to her husband in the same accident, had experienced a brain injury, and she was wondering if he would ever regain his memory. Another mother told about the pain that she'd experienced when her son, who's 25, was first diagnosed with a pervasive development disorder. He was only 10 years old, and she said, every day he has to face challenges to do the things that most of us take for granted and never even think about. These women were crying together, for as one said, tears are prayers that go straight to God's heart. The cries of lament, as you know, are powerful in our country. They're powerful around the globe today because so many are finding themselves in the wilderness, a wilderness like they've never experienced before. But God hears our cries, and God will not leave us alone in the dark places. God hears our cries and he commands tenderness and comfort for us. But how on earth do we prepare the way for the Lord to come when we are in those black places of never-ending tears? Maybe we journal. Maybe we post about our pain so other people can read it and respond. Maybe we keep going to the therapy appointments even though they hurt like hell. Maybe we force ourselves to go to the grief group even though we never thought we would need support. Maybe we make an appointment with a counselor for the first time, or we show up for the AA or Al-Anon meeting, or we meet with our social worker or our parole officer. Lots of images come to mind for me this week when I think about how do we prepare a way. Because we're focusing on welcoming Christ by welcoming the other in our midst, I've been trying to learn a little bit more about the refugee situation, and one of the things I did was watch a movie called The Good Lie. It's a movie about refugees who were coming to our country a couple of decades ago. You might have heard them referred to as the Lost Boys of the Sudan. Well, the movie focuses on the story of children who witnessed the slaughter of their parents in a horrifying civil war. They lived just a very simple nomadic life, herding animals, living in grass and twig structures. Their lives were ripped apart when there were no parents, but the parents had coach them, if anything happens, you need to go to Ethiopia. So they started out the trek to Ethiopia. They knew the direction that they needed to go, and they walked over 1,000 miles. They were turned away at Ethiopia and told by other migrant children that Kenya was the place to go, and they finally made their way to a refugee camp in Kenya. Over 1,000 miles walked across desert with absolutely nothing. The only thing that these children could have called a possession besides the raggy clothes that they were wearing was a Bible, their family Bible, that they carried with them. And on this 1,000-mile trek, they told each other the stories of Scripture to give themselves hope, based on the hope that people of faith had had in years past. And they kept telling those stories to each other and then to others when they finally arrived at the camp. They were at that camp for 13 years before they got visas to come to America. And they kept telling stories from the Bible to themselves when they ended up in Kansas City, a place that they had no skills to navigate. They clung to the stories to give them hope, and they prayed as they could. How do we prepare the way of the Lord when we're in the wilderness? Let the stories of Scripture guide us. Pray however we can. Those young people didn't have shoes. Their feet were just bloodied and bruised by the walking. Makes me think of that Negro spiritual, I got shoes, you got shoes, all God's children got shoes. And you realize that the slaves who first sang that song, they didn't have any shoes, but they sang about a time when all God's children would have shoes. How do we prepare the way of the Lord when we're in the wilderness? We trust that Christ is coming and that He will provide for us everything that we need. Patty Wetterling, mother of Jacob, that son who was abducted so many years ago, she's been in the news quite a bit recently, and she shows us how to prepare. Not long after Jacob's disappearance, Patty and her husband started the Jacob Wetterling Foundation to help other families like them who were struggling with loss and grief. I think that Patty Wetterling, at least as far as I can reckon, ran for public office at least a couple of times, and now she is the chair for the National Center for Missing and Exploited Children. How do we prepare the way of the Lord when we're in the wilderness ourselves? We become advocates for others who walk in our shoes. That's essentially what all those mothers were doing when they shared their stories with the mother who was awake crying through the night. They were bringing their love and support to her in the form of their stories to hold her. Lucas Hobbs was another name in the paper recently, too. Not because he was a national figure like Patty Wetterling. He's just a 13-year-old kid, a kid who was diagnosed with stage 3 Hodgkin's lymphoma. And he was newsworthy because when he was offered a wish through the Make-A-Wish Minnesota Foundation, he wanted to do something for someone else. His wish, because he and his dad loved to cook and his family loved to eat together, his wish was to feed other people, to take food to them with food trucks. And so he and his family and his friends and a lot of other people who got connected to the cause served up an awful lot of people at 6 different stops. They started with his church. Then they went to his school, fed the students and the teachers and faculty and administrators there. Then, get this, he went to his grandma's community center and he fed the people there. And then he went to his hospital where he'd received his care and fed other patients and fed the nurses and the doctors and the radiology technicians and all of the personal care assistants. And probably the food service workers too. Then he served at the Minneapolis Police Department because someday Lucas intends to become a police officer. And he served food at the Dorothy Day Center, a place many of you have been, serving food to the homeless people who gather there because they're hungry and they have no place else to go. Well, gifts that Lucas's generosity inspired led to the establishment of a nonprofit organization that they now call Chef Lucas Food. And right now, that nonprofit organization is organizing a way to help feed families of pediatric cancer patients, to feed them at local restaurants where they can go and have a feast and not have to pay a dime. How do we prepare a way of the Lord when we're in the wilderness? By serving others. Because as Lucas says, it feels good to serve. Or as Lucas's pastor says, that's how we find ourselves, by giving ourselves away. Even Martin Luther had a helpful insight for us when somebody asked him one day what he would do if he knew that the world was going to end tomorrow. Luther said, "Even if I knew that tomorrow the world would go into pieces, I would still plant my apple tree." How do we prepare the way of the Lord when we're in the wilderness? We keep doing the things that make the world a better place. And we never, ever, ever give up hope. Why? Because Christ is coming. Thanks be.